Let us give thanks and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that there was a fountain opened for us upon the cross of Calvary. That fountain that was opened so that the blood of the Savior could come forth to cleanse us from all of our sin and our unrighteousness. So that there could be reconciliation. So that there could be full redemption. So that there could be eternal salvation for us. We thank Thee for that fountain of cleansing. And we are thankful not only that it stood in that day, but that it stands even today for us, lost and condemned sinners. But we are saved and we are redeemed by that fountain even today. Because even today, dear Father, Thou hast granted us grace to believe that we are the children of God. And that our sins are forgiven and washed away in the precious blood of Jesus. Dear Father, may this knowledge be with us always, and may we look upon it by faith, each and every day of our life, and in our dying moments, may we see that fountain flowing for us, so that we may look with bright eyes toward that celestial city which is above, that we can see that our home in heaven is awaiting us. We want to see that home, dear Father. We want to see the face of Jesus. We want to see those wounds that He bore for us so that our hearts could be filled with joy and refreshment and that we could with new strength journey on this road of life. Lead us unto that eternal home in heaven. And dear Father, even this evening hour of grace, we ask that Thou would be with us here. And feed us with that everlasting word. Bless those among us, dear Father. Bless our congregation. Bless our country. Be with those who are in sorrow. Be with those who are on their sick beds. Strengthen the elders. Be with those who are tempted to go into the ways of this world. Keep us within Thy arms of grace and mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Next song is 258. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. For a text tonight, we'll We'll read from the 18th chapter of Genesis. And we'll take the second half of that chapter. And we'll read from verse 16 through the end of the chapter in Jesus' name. But before we read there, maybe we should consider, first of all, in this 18th chapter of Genesis, the Bible tells us that the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. This was God himself came with two others. And I'm sure they were angels. And they came to see Abraham and Sarah. And they came with that message to them that they were going to have a child. And it was such an important matter that they came to visit them to give that message. And they were glad to meet them. And this was also the time when Sarah laughed within herself when she heard the message, because it was so hard for her to believe. It didn't make any natural sense at all. Just like so many things of God are, so many of his promises and of his word, and they don't answer to our reasoning or our understanding. And Sarah laughed within herself. And even though it was within herself, God heard. And he even told her that, wherefore did Sarah laugh? And Sarah denied, but God knew what was in her heart. But yet God's promise was fulfilled. And God's promises are sure, and they are fulfilled. So we'll start with this happening that took place at that time when those were visiting with Abraham and Sarah, starting with verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And the Lord said, "Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." And Abraham answered and said, "Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 45, I will not destroy it." And he spake unto him yet again and said, "Peradventure there shall be 40 found there." And he said, "I will not do it for 40's sake." And he said unto him, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there." And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way, as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Amen. So as we said earlier, that this was the time when Abraham and Sarah were visited by God. But there were three there. There was the Lord and two others, as it says. And they came to fulfill a promise that Abraham had received, and they received a new promise that they would have a child. Remember now, before this, Abraham had been promised that he would, through him, that all the world would be blessed. And now, when they came with this promise that they would have a son, now Abraham was able to see a little bit that truly God was going to fulfill his promise with him. And even as the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? And nothing is. He can do everything and anything. But it was time for them to leave. And as they got up to leave, they had been there with Abraham and Sarah, and they had prepared a meal for them. They had eaten there with them. But they got up and they started to go in the direction of Sodom. And Sodom was one of the cities that were upon the plain there. And Abraham got up to, and he went, it says here that, went with them to bring them on the way. In other words, he got up with them and he was going to walk a short stretch with them. He wanted to be with them a little longer. It was a polite thing to do. And it is as if we would get up from visiting with somebody and they would walk us out the door and down the road a little ways. That's what Abraham did. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? There he spoke to the others, and saying that it was a question, that shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? And God did not want to hide anything from Abraham. He wanted to show him what he was going to do. And listen why. He said, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Again, God was telling Abraham that he's going to be great and mighty, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And we even today are under that blessing of faithful Abraham. For in his seed even Jesus came. And for God even said, For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. So God already knew the heart of Abraham, even as he knows ours tonight. And he could see in the heart of Abraham, he could see the seed of Abraham, he could see Abraham's children and children's children, and yet he could even see unto today. And he could see that the children of God will command their children, and that they will teach their children and their household, and they will keep the way of the Lord, and they will do justice and judgment. That's what God sees when he sees the children of God. That's what he sees when, because he knows the desire of the heart is that we would do right and that we would walk before him in truth. This is what God saw even in Abraham in that day. And through Abraham, he also saw us. And that is what God desires to see. And he did not want to hide this from him. And what he didn't want him to be hidden from was the fact that he was not pleased with the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because he said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. He wanted Abraham to know that he hated sin. He wanted him to know that he was not happy with the sins of the world. He was not happy with the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And do we not also know that even today, that God still hates sin? And God is not happy with the sins of this world. He is not happy with the way this world is. In fact, it even grieved God to make this world before he destroyed this world with the flood. God at that time was so displeased with this world that he flooded it so that all were drowned except Noah and his immediate household. But God has promised that he would not destroy the whole world again until that last day when he destroys it by fire. But even at this time, when he saw the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was too much for him to bear. And he even, as we know after this text, that he did destroy those cities with fire. But he has preserved this world, and he will not destroy the whole world until that last day. But even at this time, God did this to show his hatred of sin and his displeasure at those that live in ungodliness. And it was as if it was a cry unto heaven. He heard that cry. He heard the noise of that city, and it was grievous to him. And what was that cry? You know, God heard all of the hustle and the bustle of that city. He heard the noise of the city. And he heard the hearts of the people as they searched for new and different things to do. And we know that when we hear the words of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, our thoughts immediately turn to that sin of homosexuality that they lived in that city. But it was much more than that. And even as it's written in the book of Ezekiel, in the 16th chapter and the 49th verse, God there is speaking there through the prophet Ezekiel about the city of Sodom. And he's primarily speaking to the city of Jerusalem at the time and comparing Jerusalem to Sodom. And he said, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and the abundance of idleness was in her, and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. This is also what God heard, that cry that rose from the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He could see there the pride of the people. He saw that they thought very highly of themselves, and they thought they were something. He also saw the fullness of bread. It was a time there, even as it is now, a time of the economy was good. There was money to be made. Things were busy. Life was good. There was money to spend. There was money to waste. There was much money to spend on pleasure. And there was money to spend and time for leisure. Even as it says, the abundance of idleness was in her. And for us today, this should be a warning unto us. Because from these, from pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness, when those are planted in our hearts, then there is room for all kinds of sin and wickedness to grow. When we have time on our hands, and when we have money, and we have no worries, no natural worries of this life, then our mind is a breeding ground for all the temptations that the devil would want to bring. That's why even the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah ended up with much homosexuality, because they were bored. They had too much time on their hands. They were wealthy. So they were able to and had time to try all of the sins of the world. And when we are full of money, and when we have plenty of time, then we try the same things. Maybe we will not try that sin that Sodom and Gomorrah lived in, but maybe there would be other things that we have time to do, seeking after the fulfillment of the lusts of our flesh, trying everything that this world has to offer. Maybe we have to go and try every different restaurant that is around. Maybe pretty soon that we are not satisfied with what's around us, but we've got to travel miles and miles and to go to many other different places of entertainment of this world because we have time and we can afford it. How is it with you? How close are these sins of Sodom to you? This is what happened to those in that day when this was given unto them. We might call these the fullness of bread and good times are blessings from God, and truly they are. When God blesses us and God gives us, then let us be thankful for it. But also let us also ask God that our hearts would not be destroyed and that we would not be led into the world because we can afford it. And also because if we have been given wealth and good times, it is not also the time to start to be proud and start to think that I have done this with my own hands and with my own wisdom and with my own good deals that now I have become something. Let us not forget that all good things come from God. He is the one that gives it with His hand. And let us be thankful for it. And instead of using it all on ourselves, don't do as they did here. It says, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. See, with the wealth that Sodom had, they didn't give it away. They didn't give it to the poor and the needy, but they kept it for themselves, and they spent it all on themselves. And with that, they were led into all kinds of sin and ungodliness. May God spare us from that. But the Lord said to Abraham that I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. If not, I will know. There is no way that they could hide what they were from God, and neither can we. He will know. He says, I will know. There is nothing hidden. So they turned their faces from them, and they started to walk toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Quite a thing that he was able to stand there with God and to speak with Him. He was not afraid to speak unto God. And he says that even that Abraham drew near. He got close to God. And there he began to speak unto Him and to ask Him questions. And this is the same as we do when we go to God in prayer. And we can draw near unto Him. We don't have to stay far off, but we can draw near when we pray unto God. He hears us. He sees us. And Abraham began to ask Him that. The Bible here uses that word peradventure. But it was the same as if he would said, what if? What if there would be 50 righteous within the city? So what if there would be 50 Christians within that city? That God, will you destroy that city? Will you destroy it if there's 50 there? Even if that whole city is full of ungodliness, and even as God Himself said, because their sin is very grievous, what if in that city there would be 50 people that were not living grievously in sin? And Abraham even said further that, he said, that be far from thee to do after this manner. He said, as if to say that you shouldn't do that. That should be far from your thoughts. That you shouldn't even think those kind of thoughts, that to slay the righteous with the wicked. How could it be that you would slay and kill the good people with the bad people? And he said, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. He's saying, don't even think like that, God. Don't even say things like that. And listen further, he says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham is really questioning God, that would it be right? He said, you are the judge of all the earth. He said, shouldn't you do the right thing? Abraham's very bold here to speak unto God that way. But Abraham was bold because he knew God. He knew that God was righteous, but he also knew that he was gracious and merciful. And he knew that he was that his judgments were righteous and true and fair. Maybe I shouldn't use the word fair, but he knew that God's judgment was right. And he didn't understand why God would speak about destroying the city. But God had never told him that he would destroy the city and the righteous and the unrighteous people together would be destroyed. God never told him that. But that's what he heard. And even as he started here with 50, these were Abraham's words now. God never said that he would destroy it if there was some righteous people there. Or God didn't say it either way. But God said, he said, and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And then Abraham started to speak further. And he said that, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Yet he knew that he was yet just a man. He knew that he was made from the dust of the earth. He knew that he was a sinful man. But yet he dared to speak further. And he said, what if, or peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50? What if there was 45? And he went farther and farther down until he finally came unto 10 people. And God said that he would not destroy the city if there was 10. This is an example unto us of how that God hears our prayer. And he listens, and he doesn't grow weary of listening. When we read this, there was no word in there from God telling Abraham that I am weary of listening to you. God never said that. Also, God never told him to hurry up. God never told him that he had to be going. God waited there and listened while Abraham spoke unto him. And when we pray, God listens. And when we ask for something, even as Abraham asked here for, if there would be 50 righteous, will you destroy the city? God answered that. And when at each step of the way, God answered. And in each place, Abraham was testing, and he was trying to find out and asking that, are you still gracious and merciful? And at each place, he found out that God was listening to him, and he was merciful, and that he will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. And at each place, Abraham found out that God will not destroy the righteous, and that he will help and save them. And this should be of great comfort to the children of God, that even though we look about this world and we see the wickedness, and we see even the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah today, and we see, I would even say, worse sins than that, because we see all of the murder and the abortions and all of the rampant crime and the lack of any kind of morality left in this world, from the leaders of our country and our world to our neighbors. And it is no different anywhere in this world. But yet God will save the righteous. And He will not destroy this whole world because He sees and hears the cry, even as He heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. But He will not destroy us because He sees and hears this. But He will save us and keep us. And this world will be destroyed, but we will be taken from it. Even as in the next chapter, this 19th chapter of Genesis, where God sent those to that city. And in that city were some righteous people. There was Lot and his family there. And it was less than 10. But God saved them. Even though Abraham had asked God down to 10, and God said that He would not destroy if He found 10. Yet when God went to the city, there was not 10. But God still did not destroy the righteous with the wicked. But He took the wicked out and destroyed the city. God was more gracious than Abraham could understand. More gracious than Abraham could comprehend. And that's how it is even today. When we think of the graciousness and the mercifulness of God, we don't see it. We don't see the full measure of it. We don't see the depth and the breadth of it, of His grace and mercy. Neither do we see that of His righteousness. We don't see how strong, how righteous God is. We don't see the depth of how much He hates sin and ungodliness. We only see it in a small measure. But by faith, God has given us enough to see so that we could love Him, but yet know that He is yet a righteous and holy God. But after this text was read, God went. And He went to that city of Sodom. But there was only two there that went to Sodom. And it's in the 19th chapter, it starts, those two angels came to Sodom. And there they went to the house of Lot. And they were there, and the men of the city wanted to have those angels even. And those angels protected Lot. And they were in the house of Lot. There are many things to read in that, even in that 19th chapter, that it would be good to cover. But God did destroy that city. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. And there were many things that happened there. Even Lot's sons-in-law, they did not want to leave the city when they were told to go. They did not believe. They were not believers in God. They didn't believe the voice of the angels. They didn't believe the promises of God. They stayed in that city. But Lot left with his wife and daughters. And even there, the wife of Lot was told with the rest that don't look back. And she did. And God turned her into a pillar of salt. As a lesson for us. Even in the New Testament, it tells us, remember Lot's wife. And why does it say that? Why are we told to remember such a horrible happening? So that we would remember two things. Remember the righteousness of God. Remember that His word is true. And also to remember that once we have been saved from this city of destruction, once we have been saved from the filth of this world, that we would not look back. That we would not look upon this world with fondness and would desire and remember the good things that are there that our flesh loves. Even as those children of Israel, when they were freed from the bondage of Egypt, on their way to the promised land with all of God's promises, there they murmured and complained, and they remembered the flesh pots of Egypt, and they wished they could be back there. God didn't destroy them immediately as he destroyed this wife of Lot, but they did not make it to the promised land. Oh, that God would be gracious and merciful to us, so that he would guard us from falling away, and that he would keep us from loving the things of this world so much that we would turn our eyes away from that home in heaven that is awaiting us. Fix your eyes upon that and look forward and walk one more step upon the way. Keep your eyes upon that prize that is at the end of this life. Keep your eyes upon that prize that is waiting the children of God. Though we may walk slow upon the way, if we stay in that same direction, we will be saved. You know, the doors of heaven aren't open just for a little while, and then they are closed. But they are open long enough so that the poorest of the children can make it. And it is that place where we would desire to go. And though our God is righteous and holy, though he has put many to death, and though he has made the fires of hell for the devil and his angels, yet he is a God of grace and mercy, and he has so many good things in store for us. And he desires, even from these places in God's word, that we would be warned, that we would not love this world, and that we would not desire this world's goods and this world's pleasures and this world's corruption, but that we would seek him and listen to him, even as the words came to Abraham, that he does not want to hide anything from us. He wants us to know that he does not like sin, and those are weak words. God hates sin. And he doesn't hate us because we sin, but he hates sin itself. He loves us and desires us to come to heaven, but he wants us.
Yeah. Beloved, we call upon the heart of the Father this afternoon of grace.
Rakkaat, me pyydämme meidän rakkaan isän sydämen puolen tänä iltapäivänä.
That he would see our hearts and speak unto us.
Että hän katsoisi meidän sydämiä ja puhuisi meille.
So that we could be partakers of his great grace and mercy.
Että me voisimme olla osallisia hänen rauhasta ja hänen armosta.
Of which we have heard already this afternoon of grace.
Mistä me olemme jo tänä iltapäivänä kuullut.
As we heard of John the Baptist.
Me kuulimme Johannes Kastajasta.
And of his father who made known his testimony.
Ja hänen isästä, kuka tunnusti hänen sydämestä.
And as that voice has sounded forth,
ja kun se ääni on vielä kuultu,
may it sound forth within our bosom and within our heart.
Voi, että se kuuluisi meidän sydämessä ja meidän sisimmäisessä.
And lead us unto Christ Jesus, the Redeemer and Savior.
Ja johtaisi meitä meidän lunastajan ja pelastajan tykön.
Who was born in Bethlehem's manger.
Kuka on Bethlehemin seimässä syntynyt.
And has suffered and died in our behalf.
Hän kärsinyt ja kuollut meidän takia.
And has arisen from the dead, for the grave could not contain
him. Hän ylös nousi, kun sen hauta ei voinut häntä enää pitää.
And the Father has taken him to himself in heaven.
Ja isä on ottanut hänet tykönsi taivaassa.
And he sits at the right hand of the Father.
Ja hän istuu Jumalan oikealla kädellä.
And intercedes for you and for me.
Ja se menee meidän edestä minun ja sinun tähden.
And may this Savior and Redeemer.
Ja oi, että tämä vapahtaja ja tämä lunastaja.
Abide with us this afternoon.
Että hän olisi meidän kanssamme tänä iltapäivänä.
When our Savior was here upon this earth.
Kun meidän vapahtaja oli täällä maailmassa.
He partook of everything that mankind must partake.
Hän otti osaa kaikesta, mikä ihminen ottaa osaa.
And he experienced all the things that we experience.
Ja hän koki kaikki, mitä me olemme kokenut.
Except that he was without sin.
Vain tämä, että hän oli synnitön.
And therefore he is the high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
Ja siksi hän on se korkea pappi, kuka on koskettu meidän heikkoudessaan.
Who was in all points tempted like we.
Joka asiassa on ollut vietetty niin kuin me.
And yet without sin.
Ja siltikin ilman syntiä.
Therefore he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities.
Siksi hän on koskettu meidän heikkoudessaan.
And he is a high priest who understands and knows our hearts.
Hän on korkea pappi, kuka ymmärtää ja tietää meidän sydämensä.
And as this Savior and Redeemer then went to the place of sacrifice
joko
for us.
Tämä vapahtaja lunastaja meni sitten uhripaikalle meidän takia.
The scriptures tell us that there followed him a great company of people.
Raamatussa on kirjoitettu, että suuri lauma meni hänen perästä.
And of women which also bewailed and lamented him.
Ja siellä oli niitä naisia, kuka itki ja suri hänen takia.
And as they followed Jesus,
ja kun ne sitten meni Jeesuksen jäljestä,
Christ turned unto them and said,
Kristus sitten käänsi ja sanoi niille,
daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me.
Jerusalemin tyttäret, älä itke minusta.
But weep for yourself
mutta
and your children.
Teidän omasta ja teidän omilta lapsen tähden.
And oh, how many there have been who have wept.
Ja kuinka monta niitä on ollut, kuka on itkenyt.
And have wept for their children.
Ja ne on itkenyt myös niiden lapsien tähden.
Because their children have gone into the ways of unbelief.
Kun niiden lapset on mennyt epäuskon teihin.
And have spent their substance in riotous living.
Ja siellä on tuhulannut kaikki, mitä ne on saanut isältä raiskassa elämässä.
And as our Savior made known unto them, weep not for me.
Ja niin kuin meidän vapahtaja on antanut niille tietää, täällä minua itke.
You need not weep for me no matter what may happen to me.
Et tarvitse minun takia itkeä, vaikka mitä tapahtuisi minulle.
And always be reminded.
Ja muistakaa sitten tämän.
For behold, the days are coming.
Koska tulee päivät.
In which they shall say,
ja kun ne alkaa sanomaan,
blessed are the barren.
siunattu on ne, kuka synnytä lapsia.
And the wombs that never gave suck.
Ja ne kahtet ja ne nisät, mikä ei ole annettanut maitoansa.
And then the scripture tells us, then shall they begin to say to the mountains.
Ja Raamattu sanoo, että sitten ne alkaa sanoa vuorelle.
Fallen us to the hills, cover us.
Että ne kaatuis meidän päälle, että ne mäjät meitä peittäis.
And as we look then upon ourselves in these last moments,
ja me omia itseä katsoma tässä näissä viimeisissä päivässä.
May God graciously grant unto us.
Oi, että Jumala olisi niin armollinen meitä kohtaan.
That we can behold and see the way that God has prepared for sinful mankind.
Että me voisimme katsoa ja nähdä, mikä se tie on, että hän on valmistanut meille.
And to speak of this afternoon of grace.
Ja kun me puhumme nyt tästä asiasta tämän iltapäivän.
We will read from Matthew the second chapter.
Me käännymme Matteuksen evankeliumin toisen lukuun.
And beginning with the 13th verse.
Ja alkaen 13. versystä.
Which follows the part of God's word which I read this morning.
Mikä seuraa sen osan Raamatusta, mistä luin tänä aamuna.
And we read it in Jesus' name. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Amen.
Luema Jeesuksen nimessä. Mutta kuin he olivat menneet pois, katso, niin Herran enkeli ilmestyi Joosefille unessa sanoen, Nouse ja ota lapsi äitinensä tykös ja pakene Egyptiin, ja ole siellä siihen asti kuin minä sinulle sanon. Sillä Herodus on etsivä lasta hukuttaaksensa häntä. Niin hän nousi ja otti lapsen äitinsä ylö yöllä tykönsä ja pakeni Egyptiin. Ja oli siellä Herodeksen kuolemaan asti, että täytettäisin, mitä sanottu oli Herralta profeetan kautta, joka sanoi, Egyptistä kutsuin minä poikani, kuin Herodos näki itsensä tietäjiltä vietiltyjiksi, vihastui hän sangen kovin ja lähetti tappamaan kaikki poikalapset Bethlehemissä ja kaikissa sen äärissä, jotka 2-vuotiaset olivat tai nuoremmat sen ajan jälkeen, jonka hän oli tarkasti tietäjiltä tutkinut. Silloin se täytettiin, mitä Jeremialta profeetalta sanottu oli, joka sanoo, Rammassa on ääni kuulunut, suuri valitus.
Beloved, the beautiful Christ child.
Itku ja iso parkumus. Raakel itke lapsiansa ja ei tahtonut itsiänsä antaa lohtuttaja, ettei he ole. Amen.
The beautiful Christ child had no more been born into this earth.
Tämä ihana Jeesus lapsi oli justiin syntynyt tähän maailmaan.
When his life was sought.
Tuon hänen elämänsä sitä haettiin.
And that is why he came into the world to suffer and to die for us.
Ja sen tähden hän on tullut maailmaan kärsimään meidän edestä.
And you look at the sweet little babe of Bethlehem.
Ja kun sä katsoo sitä pientä suloista lapsia siellä Bethlehemin tallissa.
And oh how beautiful and precious he was.
Ja oikein kuinka kaunis hän oli.
And is it not that way, my beloved, with little children?
Ja eikö se niin olekin pienen lapsien kanssa?
That all of us are drawn unto them.
Että se vetää kaikki meidän sydämet niitä kohtaan.
And if you ever go to a nursing home with and have little children with you.
Ja sä ikinä meet vanhan kotiin ja sä otat pieniä lapsia sinun mukanansa.
And you can see how those elders love those little ones.
Ja sä näet heti, että kuinka ne vanhemmat ne tykkää ja halaa niitä pieniä.
It brings great joy to the heart. To the old.
Ja se tuottaa niille sitä suuren ilon.
And when you look upon a young mother with a baby in her arms.
Ja kun sä katsot ja on nuori vaimo ja hänellä on pieni lapsi.
I think we are all drawn to that little child.
Ja meidän sydämet on vetääntynyt tähän pienen lapsen.
And we look at this wonderful gift and creation of God.
Ja me katsomme tätä suloista ja kaunista lahjaa, mitä on Jumalalta annettu.
And we wonder how could anyone want to take the life of that little child.
Ja me ajattelemme, että kuinka kuka voisi ottaa tämän pienen lasten elämän.
But we have heard this afternoon from God's word.
Mutta me olemme kuullut tänä iltapäivänä Jumalan sanasta.
That when the wise men had departed.
Kun nämä tietomiehet oli lähtenyt pois.
Then the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream.
Niin enkeli tuli Joosefille unen kautta.
And said unto him, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt.
Ja sanoi hänelle, että nouse ja pakene Egyptiin.
Because Herod would seek his life.
Kun Herodes etsi lasten elämää.
And as we look upon Herod this day of grace,
ja kun me katsomme Herodusta nyt iltapäivänä,
when this Christ child was born into this world,
kun tämä Jeesus lapsi oli syntynyt tähän maailmaan,
Herod did not know that he was not a king of this world.
Herodios ei tiennyt, että hän ei ollut tämän maailman kuningas.
Or as Christ himself has made known,
niin kuin Kristus itse on sanonut,
my kingdom is not of this world.
Minun valtakunta ei ole tästä maailmasta.
But Herod in his vain mind,
mutta Herod hänen turhuutessaan ja hänen mielessään,
that he thought this child might take away from him his kingdom.
Hän ajatteli mielessänsä, että tämä lapsi ottaa minun kuninkallisuus pois.
And if it was that way with Herod,
ja jos oli niin Herotuksen kanssa,
then we must marvel and wonder that it was that way with the children of Israel also.
Niin se oli samoin Israelin lapsien kanssa.
They were looking for an earthly Messiah
ne and
king.
Maailmallista tai tämän elämän kuninkaa ja kuningasta.
And when Christ came into this world,
ja kun Kristus tuli tänne maailmaan,
they knew him not.
Ne ei häntä tuntenut.
They would have expected him to come in great glory.
Ne ajatteli, että hän tulee suuressa touhussa.
And as the kings of this world would come.
Ja niin kuin tämän maailman kuninkaat tulee.
And not to come in the lowly manger of Bethlehem.
Ja ei tuolla alhaisessa seimessä Bethlehemissä.
And there to be among the cattle in the stall.
Ja siellä karjan kanssa siellä navetassa.
And as we look upon their hearts then.
Ja kun me katselemme niiden sydämiä.
We know that they knew no better.
Me tiedämme, että ne sen paremmin tienne.
And when the word came then by the angel to Joseph,
ja kun enkelin kautta tämä sana tuli Joosefille,
he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt.
Niin hän nousi ja otti lapsen äitinensä yöllä tykönsä ja pakeni Egyptiin.
And then they abode there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son.
Ja oli siellä Herodoksen kuolemaan asti, että täytettäisiin, mitä sanottu oli Herralta profeetan kautta, joka sanoo Egyptistä, kutsuin minä poikani.
The children of Israel had been in the bondage of Egypt.
Israelin lapset oli ollut Egyptin orjuudessa.
And God had to bring them forth from that bondage.
Ja Jumala häätty niitä vapahtaa tästä orjuudesta.
To lead them to the land of promise.
Ja johtaa niitä sitä luvattu maahan.
And it is such that Egypt is the world.
Ja se on niin, että Egypti on maailma.
And God has to also lead us from Egypt unto his kingdom.
Ja Jumala pitää meitä myös johtaa Egyptistä hänen valtakuntaan.
And that is why we proclaim the word of God this day of grace.
Ja sen tähden me puhua saarnama Jumalan sanaa tänä päivänä.
Unto all mankind.
Kaikille ihmiselle.
That they might be drawn into this kingdom of grace.
Että ne vetääntyisi tähän armon valtakuntaan.
Because we know one day the time of grace is going to end.
Ka me tiedämme, että kerran tämä armon päivä loppuu.
And then it will be too late forever and forever.
Ja sitten se on liika myöhäistä iankaikkisesti.
And all that men might take heed unto the calling voice of God.
Jotta ihmiset ottaas vaari Jumalan kutsun äänestä.
Even as he does this day of grace call unto the heart of unbelief.
Niin kuin tänäkin päivänä hän kutsuu epäuskouden sydämet.
That now is the time of grace.
Että tänä päivänä on armon päivä.
But when grace ends and ceases.
Mutta kun armo loppuu.
Then it is too late forever and forever.
Sitten se on liika myöhäistä iankaikkisesti.
And oh that the sons of men might take heed of this calling voice.
Jotta voi, että Jumalan pojat ottis vaari tästä Jumalan äänestä.
But we see that it was such with Herod.
Kun me näemme, kuinka se oli Herotuksen kanssa.
When he saw that he was mocked of the wise men.
Kun hän näki, että hän oli vietelty tietäjiltä.
Then he was exceeding wroth.
Niin hän vihastui sangen kovin.
And slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast there from 2 years old and under according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men.
Ja lähetti tappamaan kaikki poikalapset Bethlehemissä ja kaikessa sen äärissä, jotka 2-vuotiaat olivat taikka nuoremmat, sen ajan jälkeen, jonka hän oli tarkasti tietäjiltä tutkinut.
And this cruel act of Herod.
Ja tämä krouvi teko tässä Herotukselta.
It would frighten every one of our hearts.
Se säikähtäisi meidän sydämme.
And we remember that it was such in the time of Moses.
Ja me muistamme, kuinka se oli Mooseksen aikana.
When he was born into this world.
Kun hän syntyi tähän maailmaan.
Pharaoh in Egypt felt that the children of Israel were becoming too strong.
Farao ajatteli näin, että Israelin lapset, että sen sukukunta on liikaa voimalliset.
And he instructed the midwives.
Ja he opetti niitä kätiläisiä.
That they should slay the boy children that were born into this world.
Että ne tappas kaikki poikalapset, kun ne syntyy tähän maailmaan.
And we know that the hand of God was there and spared Moses.
Ja me tiedämme, että Jumalan käsi siellä varjeli Moosesta.
By the wonderful hand of him who is almighty.
Sen kauniin ja ihmeellisen käden, kuka on kaikki voimallinen.
And as we have heard already this afternoon of grace.
Ja kuinka me olemme jo kuullut tänä iltapäivänä.
That he can do all things.
Että hän voi kaikkia tehdä.
And we see then from God's word.
Ja me näemme Jumalan sanan kautta.
That sin has always raged in this world.
Että synti on aina tehnyt pahaa tässä maailmassa.
And that life has not been counted worthy of much.
Ja meidän elämämme se on paljon väärtinen.
And now we live in the last times of this world.
Ja nyt me elämme tässä viimeisessä ajassa tässä maailmassa.
And we know that now countless children are being slain.
Ja me tiedämme, että lukemattoman monta lasta on tapettu tässä maailmassa.
As abortion has been taken into the lives of people.
Kun abortti sitten on otettu ihmisen elämiin.
And as we look upon these little children,
ja kun me katsomme näitä pieniä lapsia,
that we wonder how can it be that God is merciful unto man.
Ja me ihmettelemme, että kuinka se voi olla, että Jumala on armollinen ihmistä kohtaan.
And truly this slaying of these children is exceeding great.
Ja tämä tappaminen näistä lapsia on tosi suuri.
And it is a sin that we must with all our strength fight and war against.
Ja se on synti, mitä meidän pitää koko voimalla vastaan voidella.
But as we look upon the sin of murder.
Mutta kun me katsomme murhasyntiä.
And we all feel that this is a terrible thing.
Ja me kaikki ajattelemme, että tämä on kauhea asia.
But when we stand in the presence of an eternal God.
Mutta kun me seisomme iankaikkisen Jumalan edessä.
Then we will experience as James has written in his epistle.
Sitten me kokemme mitä Jaakob on hänen epistolassaan kirjoittanut.
And this is in the second chapter of James.
Ja tämä on toisessa Jaakobin lukussa.
And beginning there with the 10th verse.
Alkaen kymmenestä jäestä.
For it says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all.
Sillä jos joku koko lain pitää ja rikkoo yhdessä, hän on vikapää kaikissa.
For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill.
Sillä se, joka sanoi, ei sinun pidä huorin tekemään, hän on myös sanonut, ei sinun pidä tappamaan.
But now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill.
Jos et sinä huorin tee, mutta tapat.
Thou art become a transgressor of the law.
Niin sinä olet lain rikkojaksi tullut.
And as we look at this matter of sin, then my beloved.
Jos me tätä syntiä sitten katselemme rakkaan.
If we transgress one commandment, we are guilty of transgressing all the commandments.
Jos me olemme yhden lain rikkonut, me olemme sitten vikapää kaikkien koko laihin.
And the wrath of God is upon those who transgress against his law.
Ja Jumalan viha on kaikkia niitä vastaan, kuka rikkoo hänen lakia.
And maybe there are those who say, well, I have not committed murder.
Ja vois olla, että täällä on joku sanoo, että minä olen ikinä murhaa tehnyt.
I have not committed adultery.
Ja minä en ole ikinä huorin tehnyt.
But our Savior has made known.
Mutta meidän vapahtajan on sanonut meille.
That whosoever looketh upon a woman to look after, lust after her.
Ja kuka sitten katsoo himoitsen toisen vaimoa.
Has committed adultery with her already.
Hän on jo huorin tehnyt hänen sydämessä.
And when man stands before the righteousness of God.
Ja kun ihminen seisoo Jumalan vanhurskauden edessä.
There is none that is righteous, no, not one.
Ei ole yksi, kukaan vanhurskaus, ei yksi.
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Kaikki on tehnyt syntiä ja on langennut hänen edessään.
And if our sins and transgressions are not under the blood of Christ.
Ja jos ei meidän synnit ja ylenkäytsemiset ei ole Jumalan veren alla.
And not washed away in his precious blood.
Ja ei pesty pois hänen veren kautta.
Then we will be condemned eternally.
Sitten meitä tuomitsetaan iankaikkisesti.
And as we look upon this world and where sin rages this day of grace.
Ja kun me katsomme tätä maailmaa, missä synti kouhuu suuressa voimassa tänä päivänä.
And we tremble with fear at the things that are.
Ja me vapisemme, kun me näitä katselemme.
Oh, may the man of heart tremble before God when he knows that he is a sinner.
Voi, että me vapisemme hänen Jumalan edessä, kun me ajattelemme, että mekin olemme syntisiä.
And he who has transgressed one against one commandment.
Ja hän, kuka on rikkonut yhdenkin näistä käskyistä.
Is guilty of transgressing against all the commandments of God.
On viollinen, että hän on rikkonut kaikki Jumalan käskyistä.
Is it any wonder then when John the Baptist began to preach?
Onko se ihme sitten, kun Johannes Kastaja alkoi sarnaamaan?
He said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Tehkää parannus, kun Jumalan valtakunta on läsnä.
And when the Savior and the Redeemer, the very act God of heaven.
Ja kun tämä meidän vapahtaja ja lunastaja.
When he began to preach.
Kun hän alkoi sitten saarnaamaan.
He made known the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Hän kanssa antoi tietää, että Jumalan valtakunta on läsnä.
Repent and believe the gospel.
Tehkää parannus ja usko evankeliumia.
And as our Savior has made known.
Ja niin kuin meidän vapahtaja on antanut meille
that
tietää.
That except we repent, we will all likewise perish.
Ja jos ei me parannusta tehdä, me kaikki langemma ja hukumma.
May the living knowledge of sin be within the heart of man.
Voi, että tämä elävä synnin tunto olisi ihmisen sydämessä.
And may the righteousness of God weigh so heavy upon a man's heart.
Ja tämä Jumalan vanhurskaus niin raskasti painaisi ihmisen sydämen päälle.
So that he has no rest by day or by night.
Hän olisi rauhaa päivä eikä yöllä.
And as the heavy hand of God is upon him.
Ja kun Jumalan raskas käsi on hänen päällänsä.
And though we would flee to the uttermost parts of the sea.
Vaikka me koitisimme mennä vaikka kuinka kauas.
God's hand is there.
Jumalan käsi siltikin on siellä.
And even though he may be in the depths of hell,
ja vaikka hän olisi helvetin syvyydessä,
the hand of God will be upon him.
Jumalan käsi siltikin on hänen päällään.
But oh, how we thank God for this beautiful time of grace.
Mutta oiko me kiitämme Jumalaa tästä kaunista armoajasta.
When our sins and transgressions can be washed away in the blood of the
meidän
Son of God.
Synti ja ylöskäymiset saa olla pesty pois Jumalan pojan veren kautta.
And the warm blood of the Son of God.
Ja lämmin veri Jumalan pojassa.
When it is upon the heart of man.
Se on Jumalan ihmisen sydämessä.
The precious peace and blessedness it brings.
Ja tämä se tuottaa sitten kallista rauhaa.
And this blood is extended unto us in the living gospel.
Ja tämä veri nyt on meillekin tarjottu tänä päivänä elävässä evankeliumissa.
And may this blood then be upon our hearts this afternoon.
Ja voi, että tämä veri olisi meidänkin sydämestä tänä armo iltapäivänä.
And as the scripture then tells us.
Ja niin kuin Raamattu on sanonut.
Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet.
Silloin se täytettiin, mitä Jeremialta profeelta sanottu oli.
In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not.
Rammassa oli on ääni kuulunut, suuri valitus, itku ja iso parku. Raakel itkee lapsiansa ja ei tahtonut itsiänsä antaa lohtutetta, ettei he olla.
And we can only begin to imagine the grief and the sorrow that was at this time.
Me voimme vain ajatella, että kuinka paljon surua ja raskautta siellä oli sillä ajalla.
When parents experience the death of their children.
Vanhemmat sitten kokee se tämän, että niiden lapset tapettiin.
The children that they love so much.
Nämä lapset, mitkä ne rakasti niin paljon.
And I don't know if anyone knows what this experience is.
En tiedä, jos täällä on ketään, kuka tämän on kokenut.
To have the death of a child.
Että lapsi on kuollut teiltä.
Until it has been an experience in your own life.
Ennen kuin se on kokeiltu omassa elämässä.
I, as a father, have experienced the death of three of my children.
Minä isänä, minä olen sen kokenut, että kolme minun lapsista on kuollut.
And oh, how hard it was to give them up.
Ja kuinka se oli vaikea, että mä voin ylen antaa niitä.
Our three-year-old daughter that died of leukemia.
Se meidän kolmevuotinen tyttö, kello oli verisyöpä.
It is 38 years ago when she dies.
Se oli 38 vuotta aikaa, kun hän kuoli.
And that memory still lives within our hearts.
Ja tämä muisto vielä meidän sydämissään.
But oh, how beautiful it is.
Mutta kuinka kaunis se on.
That we can one day see them again.
Että kerran me saamme häntä nähdä.
When they leave from this world in living faith.
Kun ne lähti täältä maailmassa elävässä uskossa.
And as the scripture here speaks of Rachel.
Ja niin kuin Raamattu tässä. Sitten kirjoittaa Raakelista,
that she was weeping for her children,
kuinka hän itki hänen lapsiansa,
and would not be comforted,
ja häntä ei voitu lohduttaa,
because they are not,
ettei he ole.
Shall we tarry for a moment with Rachel?
Viivämme nyt joitakin hetkiä Raakelin kanssa.
We know from the scriptures that Rachel was barren.
Me tiedämme, että Raamatusta, että Raakelilla on ollut yhtä lapsia.
And for a long time she did not have a child of her own.
Ja monta vuotta oli, että hänellä ei ollut yhtä lasta.
But then the time came when God did give her children.
Mutta aika tuli, että Jumala antoi hänelle lapsia.
But it was just two.
Mutta vain hänelle annettiin kaksi.
And they were the youngest children of Jacob.
Ja ne oli Jaakobin kaksi nuoremmat lasta.
It was Joseph and Benjamin.
Oli Joosef ja Benjamin.
But as we look upon Rachel at this moment of grace.
Mutta kun me Raakelia katsomaan nyt tässä armohetkellä.
I would want to lead you to the place in Jeremiah where this is written.
Tahtoisin sitten johtaa teidän sydämiä sitä Jeremian kirjaan, missä se on kirjoitettu.
And this is found in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah.
31. luvussa.
And we begin reading there with the 15th verse.
Ja luemme alkoin sitten 15. jaesta.
And this is what the scripture says.
Tämä nyt on, mikä Raamattu tästä sanoo.
Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not.
Näin sanoo Herra, Rammassa kuuluu parkuvaisten ääni ja katkera itku.
But then
Raakel itkee lapsiansa ja ei tahto itsiänsä lohtutettaa lastensa tähteen, ettei he ole.
But then we hear the voice of the Lord speaking to Rachel.
But nyt me kuulemme Herran ääni Raakelille puhuvan.
Refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy.
Lakkaa parkumasta ja itkemästä ja pyhi silmistä kyynelet, sillä sinun työlläs pitää paikkaa olemaan, sanoo Herra, ja heidän pitää palaajamaan vihollisten maasta.
The Lord encouraged Rachel to cease from weeping.
Jumala, Herra kehotti Raakelin, että hän panisi pois hänen kyynelensä.
And he makes known further unto Rachel, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border.
Ja hän sanoo, ja sinun jälkeen tulevaisilläs pitää toivo olemaan, sanoi Herra, sillä sinun lapses pitää tulemaan maallensa jälleen.
This afternoon of grace, I would want to speak to fathers and mothers.
Tämä armo iltapäivänä tahtoisin puhua isille ja äitille.
Maybe there are fathers and mothers here this afternoon of grace.
Sattuu täällä on isiä ja äitiä tämä iltapäivä, armo iltapäivänä.
Who have large families.
Kello on suuria perheitä.
Maybe some of you have the blessing of all your children being in living faith.
Voisi olla, että täällä on joitain, kenellä on kaikki lapset vielä elävässä uskossa.
And oh, how you can thank God for this blessing.
Ja voi, kuinka te voitte kiittää Jumalaa tästä suuresta siunausta.
Our old preacher on the West Coast, Carl Sackerson.
Meidän vanha saarnaaja Carl Sackerson.
He had a family of 12 children.
Hän oli perhe, missä oli 12 lasta.
And in his old age, he often said.
Ja vanhassa iässä hän usein sanoi.
If I have any joy in my heart.
Jos mulla on yhtä iloa minun sydämessä.
And I see my dear children swimming in the lake of fire.
Ja sitten näen, että minun lapset siellä ui siellä valkeassa meressä.
All the joy is taken away from my heart.
Tai tulisessa meressä, sitten kaikki ilo otetaan pois minun sydämestä.
Maybe there is a mother here this afternoon of grace.
Voisi olla, että täällä on äiti tässä iltapäivän armossa täällä.
Who feels barren in their heart.
Kuka ajattelee näin tyhjänä hänen sydämessä.
I have brought children into this world.
Minä olen tuonut lapsia tähän maailmaan.
But they have left the faith and gone into the land of unbelief.
Jättänyt uskonsa, mennyt ihan epäuskon maailmaan.
And your heart condemns you that I have been such a poor mother.
Ja sinun oma sydän sitten tuomitsee sinua, että minä olen ollut niin huono äiti.
That I have not been able to bring my children to the blessings of Christianity.
Että minä olen voinut tuoda minun lapsensa elämän kristilliseen siunaukseen.
And your innermost heart condemns you.
Ja sinun sisimmäinen sydän sitten tuomitsee sinua.
Is it not precious this afternoon of grace?
Eikä se ole kallis tämä ilta armopäivänä.
That there is hope in thine end.
Että siellä on vielä lopussa sitten vielä toivoa.
For the Lord saith that thy children shall come again to their own border.
Kun Herra sanoo, että sillä sinun lapsesi pitää tulemaan maallensa jälleen.
And I would want to encourage you this afternoon of grace, fathers and mothers.
Haluaisin sitten kehottaa teitä isiä, äitiä tässä iltapäivänä.
As we look upon this world that surrounds us today.
Kun me katsomme tätä maailmaa, mitä meitä ympäröitsee.
And we wonder how can we successfully make this journey of faith.
Ja ajattelemme, että kuinka me voimme sitten tehdä tätä retkiä.
And how can our children survive in the tempest that is about us?
Ja kuinka meidän lapset tätä, kuinka ne pärjää siellä, kun ne on suuressa maailman touhussa?
Let us remember that the Lord still lives.
Muistamme vielä, että Herra vielä elää.
And the grace of God is yet with us.
Ja että Jumalan armo on vielä meidän kansamme.
And the doors of grace are wide open for sinners.
Ja että armon ovet on vielä auki kaikille syntisille.
And if there might be somebody here this afternoon of grace, who experiences that he is not reconciled with a righteous God,
kuka sen tietää, että hän ei ole sitä oikeaa vanhurskautta Jumalan edessä.
And that his sins weigh heavy upon his heart and his conscience.
Ja että hänen synnit raskasti painaa hänen sydämen ja omatunnon päällä.
There is grace full and free to the needy heart and soul.
Vielä on armoa tarvitsevaiselle sydämelle.
And no matter how great and many your sins may be.
Ja vaikka kuinka suuret ja monta ne synnit on.
There is sufficient grace to cover all your sins and trespasses.
On kyllin armoa, että ne peittää kaikki sinun synnet ja ylenkäymiset.
And as we heard already today, beloved,
ja niin kuin me olemme jo tänä päivänä kuullut,
how the prophet Isaiah makes known in the 40th chapter,
kuinka profeetta Jesaja sanoo 40.
That comfort ye, my people. I'm just quoting it, not from the scriptures.
Oh. Lohtukaa, lohtukaa, sanoo Herra.
And as he comforts his people then,
ja kun hän lohtuttaa hänen kansansa,
he makes known that the Lord has paid double for all our sins.
Hän antaa tietää, että Jumala on kaksinkertaisesti maksanut meidän syntien edestä.
Not only has there been enough payment made,
ei se vain on, että on kyllin maksettu,
but the price has been paid twice over.
Mutta se on maksettu kaksinkertaisesti.
Once by the perfect obedience of the Son of God.
Kerran kun hän oli kuulijainen aivan täydellisesti Jumalan pojan.
Who has fulfilled the righteousness of God perfectly.
Kuka on täyttänyt Jumalan varhurskauden aivan täydellisesti.
By a life which is without sin.
Synnitöllä elämällä.
And then also paid on Golgotha's high cross.
Ja myös maksoi siellä korkealla Golgotan ristillä.
Whereby his suffering and death, the bitter agonies of the Son of God.
Missä hänen kärsimen ja kuoleminen ja hänen katkerimin kärsiminen Jumalan pojasta.
God's righteousness has been satisfied.
Että Jumalan vanhurskaus on asetettu.
And no matter how great a sinner you are.
Ja ei se haittaa, vaikka kuinka suuri syntinen se olisi.
There is grace to cover and hide all your sins and trespasses.
Ja on kyllin armoa, että se peittäisi sinun syntinsä,
and this blessedness which God extends unto us.
Ja tämä siunaus, mikä Jumala nyt meille tarjoaa.
It is without money and without price.
Se on ilman rahaa ja ilman hintaa.
And with the crimson blood of the Son of God.
Ja verisellä verellä tai punaisella verillä Jumalan pojan kautta.
And which stream of blood yet flows, my beloved.
Ja tämä virta vielä menee eteenpäin, rakkaani.
In the midst of Zion and through the gospel.
Sionin keskuudessa ja evankeliumissa.
May we hasten to receive this grace into our hearts.
Lähestymäkö ja hopusti sinne.
But I would yet want to refer to Rachel some more.
Mutta vielä halusin Raakeliin katsoa.
And we will look in Genesis, the 35th chapter.
Ja katsoma sitten Mooseksen ensimmäistä kirjasta 35. luusta.
And as we look upon this part of God's word,
ja kun me katselemme tämän kohtan Raamatussa,
that we ask God that he will lead our hearts,
että Jumala sitten, että johtataan meidän sydämensä,
that we can behold and see that which God has prepared for us,
että me voisimme katsoa nähdä sen, mitä Jumala on valmistanut meidän sydämille.
In the beginning of this 35th chapter,
tässä alussa tätä lukua,
God told Jacob to go to Bethel.
Niin Jumala sanoi Jaakobille, että lähde sitten Betheliin.
And it was at Bethel where God appeared to Jacob.
Ja se oli Bethelissä sitten, missä Jumala sitten ilmestyi Jaakobille.
When he fled from the face of his brother Esau.
Kun hän sitten lähti pois ja karkas pois hänen veljen Esausta.
And there as he slept.
Ja siellä sitten, kun hän nukkuu.
He beheld a ladder that went from earth to heaven.
And hän näki sitten, kun tikapuut meni vasta taivaaseen.
And the angels of God ascending and descending.
Ja Jumalan enkelit sitten nousi ylös ja laski näitä tikapuita.
And when Jacob awoke from his sleep,
ja kun Jaakob sitten heräsi hänen unesta,
he there called that place Bethel.
Hän sitten kutsui tämän paikan Bethel.
But as this time Jacob comes to Bethel,
vaan nyt tällä kertaa, kun hän tulee Betheliin,
Then Jacob began to tell the children of Israel.
Niin sitten Jaakob alkaa sitten puhumaan Israelin lapsille.
Put away the strange gods that are among you.
Että ne panis pois nämä oudot jumalat, mikä on niiden keskuudessa.
And be clean and change your garments.
Ja että ne olis puhtaita ja ne vaihtaas niiden vaatteensa.
And when Jacob exhorted the people in this way,
ja sitten kun Jaakob kehotti hänen näitä Israelin lapsia tällä tavalla,
then the scripture tells us,
sitten Raamattu sanoo meille,
that they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand.
Niin ne antoi sitten Jaakobille kaikki nämä oudot jumalat, mikä oli niiden kädessänsä.
And then something else was added.
Ja jotakin sitten oli lisätty tähän.
And all their earrings which were in their ears.
Ja kaikki ne korvarengat, mikä oli niiden korvissa.
And these idols and then these earrings.
Ja sitten nämä epäjumalat ja nämä korvarengat.
Jacob hid them under the oak tree which was at Shechem.
Jaakob sitten pani ne kannon alle siellä Shechemissä.
And oh my beloved,
ja voi rakkaani,
we of the, as the children of the last time,
me kukamat viimeisen ajan lapsia,
let us put away from our lives all our idols.
Me panisimme pois kaikki meidän epäjumalat.
And the earrings from our ears.
Ja korvarengat meidän korvista.
And we need not hide them under the oak of Shechem, my beloved.
Ja me ei tarvitse panna ne kannon alle Shechemissä.
But may they be in under the blood of Christ.
Mutta me saamme panna Jumalan tai Kristuksen veren alle.
And there they can be drowned and eternally into God's sea of grace.
Ja siellä ne saa hukutettua iankaikkisesti Jumalan armon meressä.
And as Jacob then was there at Bethel.
Ja kun Jaakob oli sitten täällä Betelissä.
And he went onward then.
Ja hän meni sitten eteenpäin.
Then it came to pass that something happened to Rachel.
Niin sitten jotakin tapahtuu Raakelille.
They went a little way to come to Ephrah.
Ne meni vähän matkaa ja tuli Ephraan.
And Rachel travailed and she had hard labor.
Ja Raakeli oli raskaana lapsia ja hänellä oli kovat kivut.
And the 17th verse. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also.
Ja koska syntäminen oli hänelle raskaamallansa, sanoi lasten nämä hänelle, älä pelkää, sillä tämä poika on sinulle myös oleva.
And it came to pass as her soul was departing, for she died.
Mutta hänen henkensä lähteessä, koska hänen piti kuolemaan.
That she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin.
Kutsui hän hänen nimensä Benoni. And mutta Rachel, hänen isänsä kutsui hänen nimensä Benjamin.
And Rachel died.
Niin kuoli Raakel.
And was buried in the way of Ephrah, which is in Bethlehem.
Ja hän haudattiin Ephratiin tien viereen, se on Bethlehem.
And there Jacob set a pillar upon her grave.
Ja Jaakob pani patsan hänen hautansa päälle.
And that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day.
Tämä on Raakelin haudan patsas hamaan tähän päivään asti.
This afternoon I would want to speak to Rachel's.
Tänä iltapäivänä tykkäsin ja halusin puhua Raakelille.
You dear wives and mothers.
Te rakkaat vaimot ja äidit.
Who have upon your heart the precious matters of Christianity.
Kenen sydämen päällä on nämä kalliit kristillisyyden asiat.
Oh, may we rejoice and thank God.
Voi että me kiittäisimme Jumalaa.
That he has not forgotten us nor forsaken us.
Ja iloitsemme siitä, että hän ei ole meitä antanut ylös ja unohtanut meitä.
That it is yet a time of grace.
Että se on vielä armon aika.
And that in this time of grace then for us and for our children and children's children.
Että tässä armon ajassa meille ja meidän lapsille ja meidän lasten lapsille.
There is abundant grace and forgiveness.
On kyllin armoa ja anteeksi antamusta.
And if there is somebody here this afternoon of grace.
Ja jos olisi täällä joku tässä tänä iltapäivänä.
Who is now in the evening of life.
kukaan viimeisellä päivällä.
And it is the time of the setting of the sun.
Ja se on sitä auringon lankemusaika.
And you had at one time Christian father and mother.
Ja kerran sinulla oli kristitty isä ja äiti.
Who sighed and cried for you.
Kuka sinun puolesta huokasi ja itki sinun perästä.
And wept over your ways of unbelief.
Ja itki, kun sinä olit epäuskon hommissa.
And their heart longed to have you as their own in living Christianity.
Ja niiden sydämet halaisi, että se oli sitä elävästä kristillisyydessä.
And maybe the sod has long covered their grave.
Ja voisi olla, että maa on kauan jo peittänyt niiden haudat.
But may it be that the seed that they have sown in your heart.
Mutta voi, että se olisi, että se siemen, mikä ne on istuttanut teidän sydämiin.
Will bear that fruit within you.
Että siellä olisi sitten semmoinen, kasvaisi semmoinen sieltä.
That you might be a living child of God.
Että sinä olisit elävä Jumalan lapsi.
And a partaker of this great grace.
Osallisen hänen suuresta armosta.
And as we this afternoon of grace are here with our
hearts. Ja tämä armo iltapäivänä, kun me olemme täällä meidän sydämiinsä.
It is such that we do not have to place the stones upon Rachel's grave.
Ei me tarvitse panna näitä hautakiviä Raakelin haudan päälle.
But may it be for us as it was with Samuel.
Voi että se olisi meille niin kuin se oli Samuelille.
When the Philistines came against the Israelites.
Kun Filistiinit tuli.
One was upon them.
Ja kun sitten tämä ukkoilma sitten oli niiden päällä.
They were confused and they were destroyed and beaten by their own people.
Ne sekaantui ja ne tappoi toinen toisiansa.
And then Samuel took a stone.
Ja Samuel otti sitten kiven.
And he set that stone.
Ja se otti se asetti tämän kiven.
And he called it Ebenezer.
Ja kutsui sen Ebenezer.
And said that hitherto the Lord has helped us.
Ja sanoi, että tähän asti Herra on meitä auttanut.
And beloved fathers and mothers this afternoon.
Ja rakkaat isät ja äidit tämänässä armo iltapäivänä.
Let us also raise our Ebenezer.
Nostamme nyt tänä päivänä meidän Ebenezer.
The Lord who has helped us in times past.
Tämä Herra, kuka on ennen aikana meitä auttanut.
He will also help us in these last
and
moments
vielä,
of time.
Hän vielä näissä viimeisissä ajoissa vielä meitä auttaa.
So that we with our children and our children's children.
Että me meidän lapsien kanssa, meidän lasten lapsien kanssa.
Can inherit the blessings of heaven above.
Voimme perimään taivaaseen siunauksen.
And let us hasten, beloved.
Ja me mennään hopusti.
The time is fleeting.
Kota aika menee pian.
And soon the Son of God is coming the second time.
Ja pian tulee Jumalan poika toisena kerran.
And when Jesus comes,
ja kun Jeesus tulee,
no longer is there grace and mercy to the unbelieving heart.
Ei ole enää armoa sitten epäuskon sydäntä kohtaan.
But now the bloody banner is raised.
Nyt on voiton ja verinen lippu nostettu. Nostettu korkealle.
And the suffering Savior and Redeemer.
Ja kärsivänen vapahtaja ja lunastaja.
His wounds are open unto the needy.
Hänen haavoinsa on auki sinua kohtaan.
And let us flee to the refuge that he has provided.
Ja pakenemme siihen turvapaikkaan, mitä hän on meille valmistanut.
So that as the storms rage about us,
ja kun myrskyt on meitä ympäritsemme,
our frail vessel of faith.
Ja meidän heikko uskon vene.
Will safely reach the harbor of rest.
Se turvallisesti pääsee tähän rauhan maahan.
We ask it in Jesus' name.
Me pyydämme tämän Jeesuksen nimen. Amen.
Shall we humble our hearts before God? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed day of grace. We thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you for your son, born in Bethlehem's manger as a little babe. We thank you, dear Father, that he has redeemed us and saved us from sin. We ask for your blessing hand upon us this afternoon of grace, that your blessing hand might be upon the little children, upon our young people, upon fathers and mothers, upon grandparents that have grown old upon the pilgrimage and journey, and that your hand of blessing might be upon those who are yet in unbelief. Draw them with the cords of love that are eternal. We ask, dear Father, for these blessings. We also ask for your blessings upon all our natural needs that you have supplied for us, the food that we eat, for the blessing of fellowship that binds us together. And then, dear Father, one day in eternal life, will you grant that we can all be there, that none will be lost and none will be outside of that blessing which you have prepared from the heart of love, which beats with compassion this moment of grace, even as it beat with compassion on the cross on Golgotha. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
I got to thank you to all the people who participated in visiting my mother. I thank you very much. Sincerely, Jean Ferguson. God's peace. There's food served for everyone downstairs. Our services will continue at 6 o'clock. There'll be coffee. Group 2 is serving coffee after the evening service. In closing this afternoon, we'll sing song number 12.